Almighty Father, whose dear Son on the night before he suffered instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. Urgency and obedience are watchwords in tonight's readings. In the reading from Exodus, the Lord gives very specific orders to Moses and his brother, and through them to the people of Israel. People on the move. Well, about to be on the move. Because these orders are issued just before the 10th plague, the annihilation of all the firstborn in Egypt, except the Israelites whose doors are marked with blood. This is the foundational story of the Passover. This is the trigger pull that begins the Exodus. It must have been as bloody a scene as that in Gaza today. It seems to me that we should have learned more by now, learned better. We humans, I mean. Why do we seem stuck on the bloodshed part and so virtually immune to developing along the lines the psalmist has set down for us? How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants, knowing from all we hear from Jesus that we are all God's children, God's servants. The action that highlights this night, the event we memorialize and repeat every year, is our Lord's act of humility in showing that he means it when he calls himself a servant. He washes the feet of his students, his disciples, before he makes explicit that sacrament we repeat at least every Sunday. My life is poured out for you, just as this wine is poured out for you, he is telling them. This bread that is broken demonstrates my offering of my body, myself, for you and for everyone who comes after you. And you must be the ones to pass this message along. He might be telling them, this time, blood is being shed, my blood, so that we never have to shed blood again to bring good news to the world. This is the end of all that. And he fulfills his part by allowing the crowd to have its way with him, to show them the inevitable outcome of their cries for his blood. This is what I want you to remember tomorrow, want all of us to remember tomorrow, when events unfold as they must, given the circumstances. That's what he's saying to them. And those circumstances were the refusal of those in power to relinquish any of that power, their insistence on claiming that they, not God, in the form of an innocent man, held the ultimate power of life and death. But that's the story for tomorrow's observance of Good Friday. Tonight, we celebrate our Lord's comforting his disciples, including us, with a promise of his presence among us whenever we gather together and break this bread and drink this wine. We celebrate that, and we leave tonight in silence, knowing that what is to follow this reassurance, the cost of this sacrament, that is our health and salvation. And then, only then, after the events of Good Friday, do we truly celebrate the victory that is God's, that is ours, by God's grace. It occurs to me once again this year, as always, how grateful I am to be part of, along with you, this sacramental church of ours that invites us to walk along this way of Jesus, leading up to the resurrection, instead of jumping from Palm Sunday, or even in some places, not even that, from Sunday as usual business, to the celebration of the resurrection. This prepares us insofar as we allow it to do that. And all of that begins with this sacred, life-giving meal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.